welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. And this week, I know some of you might say, thankfully, going solo. Because no Skype call this week, no extra guests. I know you guys and gals out there probably like the extra guests. Would love to have Dobbs back on. Would love to have Nick Hunt back on. Would love to probably have Big Candy back into studio again instead of through the Skype calls. But it's the best way sometimes that Big Candy to get here and get guests onto the show. But this past weekend, I would like to let you know that we went to Four State Comic Con, which was this weekend. And we were only able to go there, at least I was only able to go there one day instead of both days. And special thanks to Big Candy and his wife to get me up there and back. It was an interesting time to go there as a ticket holder instead of someone, a member of press. We did see Josh from Victims and Villains, who was there working the show as press or media, because he runs Victims and Villains. He wonderful podcast. Check him out on iTunes, Google Play Music, and probably other places where podcasts are found. So, like I said, I was there, or at least the show was there. I tried to bring you guys and gals with me the best I could. And again, I do apologize for not getting any interviews with any of the guests, any of the people that were there selling stuff or being there as artists or unique vendors, either authors or so forth and so on. We did make a few connections with some of the people. I wanted to get to interview Captain Mango, Jesse, who's, we see him every year or pretty much every Four State show, dressed up as a pirate. So one of these days, probably in October, if he's at the October show, or Matt's October show, we will probably get an interview with him. It was one of those things that it was more so me getting out of the house, getting my mojo back, trying to get a feel for the shows once again, and I had to return to my roots, even though the Four State and what Matt does is root for the show, because we got our teeth cut at Matt's first show, which was the Four State Horror Show, way back in 2015, and which blossomed into the Four State RetroCon and the Four State Comic Con. So let me tell you a little bit about Four State Comic Con and my thoughts of it as a ticket holder. Now, I want to say this. He had four unique celebrity guests there. Let me bring up that photo real quick and let you know who he had there as guests. He had Ricky Simmons, who it was an artist for Invader Zim, and he kind of voiced Gurr in the show. And he had Miko Hughes. Now, nowadays you would not recognize Miko, but if you saw, you might know who he was from what he did. He was the little kid in Pet Sematary and Kindergarten Cop, and when he was a little bit older, a side note about that is that he was putting, when I got a chance to meet him, like I said, not being there as press or media, if I was there as media or press, I would have loved to interview Miko or at least spoken with him, because he seemed like an interesting guy to speak with and talk about the past and some of the movies he's been in, and as not just a child actor, a really young child actor, and what he's been through since that point. But this was one of those things that was a last minute thing, last minute choice, and meaning that me and Big Candy didn't know we were going to this event until maybe about a few days before. That way, if it was maybe about a month or 2 months prior to the event, we could at least hooked up with Matt and his team at 4State and said, well, we can't really be there as vendors and promotional. Can we be there as media? So, well, depending on his October schedule, when it's going to probably be in late October. Because my deal with Matt is the fact that as soon as he makes things official, that's when we will try to announce things. I know we really didn't announce things with Forced this spring show, which was, if you're depending on when you're listening to this, was March 24th and 25th of 2018. But going back to Mikko, what he was doing with a lot of his photos was putting googly eyes on either himself or random other things that were in the photo. Like if there was a cat in the photo, he put googly eyes on the cat. It was wrong. It was scary. It was confusing. But it was like, I don't know what to think. This is funny. It was completely amusing. And I loved it. And you also had, at this event, Al Snow, who was a former wrestler. And I do apologize for the train. I do live within about, I want to say about 400 to 500 feet from a local train station, which means that there are train tracks nearby. Again, Al Snow was a former wrestler. And for the WWE, so I'm not really, even though I've had people on to talk wrestling, like Nick Hunt, Burn the Comedian, and maybe a few others, my interview skills with an actual wrestler, even though but Burn the Comedian was a former wrestler, my interview skills with those still in the business is little bit rusty, if not very minimal. I have to do more speaking with professional wrestlers or those like Al Snow to get a better feel and more into how they think and what is better to question them with, or maybe pull my resources and get someone like who is more interested in wrestling or knows more about wrestling, maybe like Big Candy, because he does know about some of the former wrestlers, and get him, I won't say get him to interview someone like Al Snow, but who knows, or at least help me with a few questions or something like along those lines. It's something I would have to talk to him about. And the final celebrity guest was Fred Williamson, and he's been in Star Trek and a lot of older movies and so forth and so on. But I didn't, other than Mikko, I didn't really communicate with a lot of the celebrity guests that much as I would like to have. Me having that thing that says media pass or a press pass, or a press relations pass, or whatever you want to call it, or how, depending on the event is doing things, it makes things easier, and it makes things like I'm not being a creeper asshole, or a fucktard. But if Matt says that right now that there was at least 1,200 to 1,500, which has been his standards for his shows lately, and this year has been busier than most. And tell you the truth, whereas last year seemed kind of dead, I can't say as of this recording, I cannot speak as to Sunday, but it seemed through some videos that were posted either on the event page or by people who have been there that I know, it seemed busier both today, or I should say Sunday, as it was when we were there on Saturday. So, that being said, would there have been about 1,200 to 1,500 people total for both days? Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised that if there was a little bit more. So, I wasn't there to know what the total number was. So, that might be something that I could bug Matt about, but he'll probably give me about those safe numbers. And I did enjoy it. I got to speak to Jesse, Captain Mango. He's a great guy, nice guy to talk to. And since we've been attending the same shows both, but this was the first time I was a ticket holder, not a media or vendor. He still like a colleague in arms, so to speak. But the person that I enjoyed speaking to the most was comic artist Ken Hunt. You want to talk about someone who is very, very fan-friendly. Again, if I had that media pass or that press pass, call it what you will, I would have, busted out something to record with. Now, here's the problem. At some point, I lost my digital voice recorder. This is just kind of looks like it's not something. Yes, I could have used my smartphone to record any audio or any interviews, but to me, this little voice recorder looks like an actual voice recorder or a tape recorder. It doesn't look like a phone, and me pulling my phone to record audio without that password have made me look like an idiot, somebody stupid, or the ilk. Even though I had my flyers there, I had business cards, I had everything with me, but without that extra credential, it makes me think I'm just an idiot there with flyers. But that's something different. That's personal. That's just me. Now, speaking to Ken Hunt, I got a couple of things off of him. One was a hand-drawn sketch of Thanos. It was a toss-up between getting that or Ghost Rider, but I got Thanos. And he had a lot of great deals on prints and, some people would call them prints, some would call them lithos. It's the same basic thing. But he was talking about how even though lots of interesting stories he told, Big Candy, one or two stories that I wasn't there for, he might be able to, when next time Big Candy's on the show, which would probably be next week, we will have to see. So, at that point, I might get him to relay a couple of stories that Ken told him, and especially about, but what Ken was doing was, he was sharing knowledge about artistry and some of the stories that he was told, in regards to being an artist and how he came up the ranks and how he tries to be very, very fan-friendly and how artists and writers like himself, especially artists, have to be more fan-friendly in order to make money and be very, very, meaning what he was saying is like, if you're fan-friendly and you're there because of the fans and you're nice to the fans, you're not pushing them away, you're not, he didn't use words like asshole or anything like that. It's like, if you're not a meanie, or I'm going to kind of colorize this for you guys and gals, if you're not a dick, you're not an asshole, you're not pushing away the fans, you're not insulting the fans, you're not putting down the fans in any way, shape, or form, because he said, he was taught when he was growing up, because his father was a cartoonist, that if you insult the fans, you put them down, so forth and so on, you are pushing away the people that will make you money. And in my head, I was thinking, this is the same. I doubt Ken ever listened to the YouTuber Diversity in Comics, but this is what the guy over at Diversity in Comics has been saying. You have to be treating the fans right. You can't insult them. You can't put them down. Yes, you got to be maybe a little bit diverse in what you're doing, but you have to put out quality work, and you have to be kind of kind to your fans. The more fans you're kind to, the bigger your market's going to be, and the more money you're going to make. And that's one of the things he was talking about, is that, yes, there's some conventions that he goes to, and he works as an artist, and he's able to overcharge because those are the attendees, the ticket holders. They are at those events, they are just bringing money. They have wads of cash. Yet he likes going to the smaller shows like Matt's show, that where it's the 9 to 5ers like me, Big Candy, you who listen to this podcast, the very few people that do actually listen to this podcast, that even though we here at the show appreciate all of you, he's like, this is the people I like, that I'm able to meet with. These are the people that buy my work, that enjoy my prints, enjoy, yet some of them will love to buy, you know, that might have the money to buy my page art or the higher end artwork. But if I'm able to sell the comics that I worked on and the prints and the hand drawn stuff that's within $10 to $20, I'll make my money back. If I sell my higher end stuff, that's even better for me. And one of the best things he was telling was that what he would like to do one day is go to a convention like Baltimore with an artist like Billy Tucci and just be a ticket holder for the day instead of being a vendor or being that quote-unquote celebrity guest, that and just pick on the other artists that are vending at the show by doing stuff like, did you draw that? Wow, how about that? Did you draw that? And it was just funny as hell. But I would love to see that. I'd follow him around just for the laugh. Because it would be just, you know, funny to see that happen. And Billy's a nice guy. Ken was a great guy. Just enjoyed just conversing with him. Again, I wish I was pressed to get an interview. Just lay down the phone. Just go do the back and forth. A few booths down, we picked up, or at least I picked up, a custom mug for $15. And it's an average beer mug type glass, which might be, it's roughly about 20 ounces, maybe a little bit more. This was not a 16-ounce glass. This was maybe about 20 to 24-ounce mug. It's a decent-sized mug. And clear see-through, the vendor was selling pre-made mugs for, or I should say, pre-designed mugs for $10, which meant if you wanted Superman, or let's say a Ghost Rider mug, he'd have the Ghost Rider symbol on the front and I Am Vengeance on the back, or I Am Vengeance on the front, depending on which hand you use, stuff like that. Or let's take Batman. He would have the Batman symbol on one side and I Am the Knight on the other. And the customized version, which was two of these vinyl labels and of your choice on the mug. And me being the half-hearted asshole who likes obscure jokes, I chose two different labels, which you are able to do. One was the Stargate SG-1 symbol for Earth. And the other side, the other label I picked up for the other side was Wubba Lubba Dub Dub from Rick and Morty. And I figured this is one of the most hilarious, obscure things I could do that only a few people would get. Now, did I enjoy? This will be a segue into one of our upcoming stories that I wish to relay to you. But for now, let's continue with Matt's show. Yes, we will be going to probably October's show. I'll have to hammer out details with Big Candy in regards to the who's, the what's, the when's, the where's, and the why's. Now, with it, I loved it. I enjoyed it. And I hope to work with Matt for his October show as either media, a vendor, or what have you, some way, shape, or form. He did very good this year. Whether or not, how much detail I could go into, I do have some video on our YouTube and our Facebook page. It's a walking tour of Forsate. That way you have an idea of what one of Matt's shows looks like, and we introduce a lot of the people that are there that we know. I loved speaking with Sharon Cosplay, I think her name is, or it's what she goes by. And we were talking about the lovely Joe Calton. All nice things if Joe is listening to this. And speaking of Joe, Joe won the show that she went to a doctor. I think she went to a Doctor Who convention this past weekend. And my God, she won the internet this weekend. I'm going to say that right now. She dressed up as one of the, I want to say lizard. I forgot the name of the group. They were kind of lizard-oriented type, lizard-human hybrid type alien creatures that was on Doctor Who. Complete detailed makeup, put it on herself, and as she posted up on Facebook, heading down to the show, going to enjoy my day, and it was a photo over in a car, and my comment was, please smile and wave at random people for the reaction. But she met up with Peter Capaldi, and the photo that was taken was perfect, and I declared that she won the internet. And if you wish to follow good old, I want to say good old Joe, she's a very young lady in her own right. So follow her on Twitter by Joe Calton Cosplay. I might put a link in the description. And but either way, we have a walking tour of Matt's show on our YouTube channel. Just search Long Coat Mafia on YouTube. We don't have that many subscribers right now for an official to add Long Coat Mafia Pod as an official channel name right now. I think we need at least 100 to 1,000 subscribers on our channel for that to happen, which we're nowhere near. We only have about 5. But we do have the video on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. So, search on Facebook for that, and you'll see that. And we do have other footage on our GoPro wannabe type of camera, and we'll be putting that together for a very, very special video, maybe, that we'll be putting up on our Facebook and our YouTube channel, or one and or the other. But either way, that's something I'm considering. I got to edit the footage and see what we got and how good it came, and if I'm able to strip the audio on that. But to kind of continue on what's going on right now, will we constantly go back to Matt's show? Yes. And today, because of it, I got con fatigue. And for those of you out there who never been to a convention of any sort or a show like a pop culture show or a comic book show or anything like that, there is something called con fatigue and con... What? How do they call it? Con funk. It's sometimes it refers to the same thing, but it's a little bit different. Con fatigue is that the next day or two, you're just worn the fuck out. You're just dead to the world. You're tired. You could sleep for 3 days. Literally, sleep for 3 days, and all you did was go to a show for about 2-3 hours. You're dead. You're dead to the world. You did the panels, you got geeky stuff, you spoke to celebrities, you did everything, and you just wore the hell out. You might be energetic on the way there, but the way back, you're dead. Somehow you were drained of everything you had. And you could be living about a quarter of a mile from when this event is being taken place. You could have walked there and back. You were energetic. It took you 5 minutes to get there. But on the way back, it took you an hour to get home because you're balls to the wall, tired as hell. But that's usually strictly con fatigue. And some people refer to con funk as because of con fatigue, being so tired and so worn out, your immune system tends to be affected because sometimes you're not eating right and not sleeping right. Either a day getting ready for this event and you're there and you finally went to the event, now you get to relax. You're all stressed out prior, now you're relaxed. And this is when your immune system gets affected a little bit and you usually get a cold, the flu, Sometimes, depending on what type of season it is, whether it's bronchitis season, flu season, cold season, you tend to get one, the other, or all three, which sucks. And I've seen it happen. A lot of people get con funk. Sometimes con funk is pretty much that dude that seemed never to bathe in 3 days. But it's usually referred to the same con funk, con fatigue. It's usually the same thing. The same terminology is usually used as an umbrella terminology some days. But in other news, sorry to fill you in like that, we had some news come in. Some of that news is from what has been released right now. I can't really comment because a lot of the sources are just coming in, whether or not it's going to happen or not. Let me put it like this. We had released, I got to bring it up, as of this recording, it came out that there may be a rumor that Borderlands will be announced sooner than expected. Now, which I should say E3. I think E3 is later this year, maybe about July, August, in and around there, if not September. And some people have been saying, according to reports, that it's going to be roughly June 10th. But at a possibly Microsoft press conference. But no one knows. A lot of people have been saying that the photo that was brought up was faked. But, let's see here, the image was put up on Reddit, but was since taken down. Notes that Borderlands 3 will be revealed for the first time on June 10th. There was a video snippet up at one point, but it looks like it's been taken off of Vimeo, either at the request of 2K Games or the development team over at Gearbox. According to the article, they said, we managed to grab a screen grab, which you can see below. And yeah, it kind of looks, I'll agree with them, because it kind of looks a little suspect. Doesn't look what they've been showing prior. But the idea that they bring up, it says, brings up an interesting idea, though. Before E3 takes place, both Microsoft and Bethesda will be hosting a press conference on June 10th. Now, Bethesda isn't likely to say anything since they have their own announcements going on. But what about Microsoft? Is there a possibility that the Big M might have partnered up with 2K to make Borderlands 3 the best on Xbox One and Xbox One X platforms as a partnership? Meaning, what the article is trying to say is that, and nowadays, that there's usually two things when it comes to consoles. One thing is an exclusive, which means something like Halo or Gears of War might be, Halo's like exclusively Microsoft, and Gears of War's exclusively PlayStation. Now, what some multi-platform AAA titles do, like what 2K tends to do, is that they might pair up with a company like Microsoft and or Sony and say, okay, we'll have our game come out on your system first as a timed exclusive, then we'll put it out on other platforms. Meaning that on, let's say, September 31st, whenever day that might be, you're going to have Borderlands 3. Now, 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks later, it's going to come out on PS4, then maybe another week and a half later, it's going to come out on personal computers or gaming computers. Now, here's the thing. A lot of things that a lot of the gamers out there will say, and I might kind of agree with them, is that when it comes to either timed exclusives or exclusives, since this new generation with the Xbox One, either the original Xbox One, the Xbox One S, or the Xbox One X, they have constantly dropped the ball, which means instead of having an exclusive, oh, let's have an exclusive plus put it on for PC computers, which kind of hurts them. Either that or, oh, we'll have an exclusive, we have an exclusive, we have an exclusive, and thus never come out with it or cancel it. We've been waiting several years for a Crackdown 3, and it's been pushed back. I don't know if it's been released. I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't seen anything about it. So, that's the problem. Microsoft, and that, when it comes to Xbox One, ever since they had the whole DRM debacle when the Xbox One first came out, they've constantly dropped the ball. Now, with several other aspects, they tried to make up with it with a lot of new features with the Xbox One, but it doesn't bring more people to the yard. If you want to go with the old additive, Microsoft's milkshake is not bringing the boys to the yard right now. But in the PlayStation 4 camp, and Sony's camp, yeah, their milkshake is bringing the boys to the yard. And sadly to say, and ironically, so's Nintendo's milkshake is bringing the boys to the yard. Because seemingly, Microsoft isn't doing that good this round of the console wars. Now, we've heard another thing that has popped up. I don't think I shared it yet on Facebook, our Facebook page, but I believe I have, and that was the aspect. I have to bring it up. I think I saved it. Let's move out. Saved. And that was in regards, I didn't make the Rick and Morty reference. I just have to say, I did save it. Yep, and that was the fact that it's currently in limbo. Here's the thing. Some reports are saying the fact that season 4 of Rick and Morty has been canceled, and other reports are saying it's in limbo. Now, here's the problem. Or at least the problem that I see is because the fact that what Rick and Morty has been done, we've covered this on the show before, is that Rick and Morty is taking a kind of a playbook out of the Boondocks cartoon series. What the Boondocks did, if for those of you who remember, it was a wonderful, funny show, but it lasted 3 seasons, and the problem was, is the seasons didn't come out every year. You had season 1, and instead of having season 2 come out the next year, like maybe about 3-4 months after the first season, it came out like 2 years later. And the third season came 2 years later after the second season, which kind of hurt the show, kind of really hurt the show. Because what happened is within the 2 years between season 2 and season 3, the showrunner and creator of Boondocks left the show. And so they had to bring in another showrunner, and season 3 was not the same. Now, with Rick and Morty, season 2 came within, from what I heard, maybe about a year and change after season 1, and season 3 came out 1 year, I think about 1 year after season 2. Now, another report that came across our desk, quote unquote, is that the showrunner, Dan Harmon, is a mild alcoholic. And I'm not saying that whole is against him or not, but my problem is, like I said, with the writing aspect, they tend to write things 2 or 3 months prior to everything getting started. Now, the problem is, that aspect is kind of bad, kind of really, really bad. They came on record saying that, oh, we'd rather do it this format that leads up suspense. But I've said, and I don't know about Big Candy and some of the other people out there who might think differently, that it should be constant. If you have season 2, it should come out maybe about a few months after season 2. Like, season 3, season 4 should come out maybe mid-summer or maybe late 2018 because it's already over and done with. Season 3 is already over and done with. Granted, it would have been about a year, but it should come out between middle of this year, if not September. But they're not. According to reports, it's in limbo. It could be canceled. It has not been ordered yet. But my problem is that because of this, it should have been picked up. It should have. There's somebody stalling somewhere. Let me read the article. It said, or at least convey the article. The title of it is, according to Dan Harmon, the future of Rick and Morty is in limbo. And some of it is that, it says here, for those of you Rick and Morty fans who have been wondering what's going on with Season 4 and the future of the season, Dan Harmon has offered an update, and it's not good. After a disgruntled fan complained to Harmon for not working on the new season of Rick and Morty, Harmon confirmed that Adult Swim hasn't officially picked up another season of the show yet. Here's what the fan tweeted, and the person said, quit wasting time and go finish the next Rick and Morty season, you lazy alcoholic. Run the Jewels can get animators to make music. Run the Jewels can get the animators to make music video, but we're waiting on them for the next season. Nah, we're waiting on you to finish writing it, like that fucking book. Then Harmon replied with the following. I hear you, though. Tough spot. On one hand, it can be challenging, especially with crippling, lazy alcoholism, to write a show that hasn't been ordered by a network. On the other hand, the thought of that fans like you pay the price. I mean, I'm going to grab a drink. And they go on to say that it's strange and a shame that Adult Swim is dragging their feet on this. Rick and Morty is a wildly popular show. How can they not greenlit a season 4 yet? I don't have an answer for you. I'm just as confused as the rest of the fans. Now, the problem is, I'm going to not go into more, is that this could be a two-way thing. Adult Swim could be waiting on Dan to start writing, and Dan's waiting on Adult Swim to let him know that they want a season 4. But my issue is, again, the delay in seasons. Because the fact of that you lose, even though you have that popular fan base, you lose viewers. You lose viewers. And eventually, this idea of waiting a year, waiting 2 years, waiting like a year, year and a half, 2 years before the next season comes out, to constantly keep that hype up. Hey, it's coming back. Eventually, the fans are going to go, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. Fuck this. Take your Pickle Rick and go home. And another thing is, well, if reports are the fact that Dan Harmon is an alcoholic or not, he is, and if Adult Swim is waiting on him to sober up, they might. It's one of those things that's going to be snowballing, and it's going to probably harm the fans more than it harms Dan or Adult Swim, because the fans want it, and Dan eventually might not care. Hopefully, he does care enough to want to earn that paycheck and get something going, and probably if he is an alcoholic, I hope he gets the help he needs or finds a way out of that situation. So if he isn't, please get on the ball. This whole aspect of let's wait a year and a half, let's wait a year, is a bad plan. It's a stupid plan. It's fucked up. The people here at Martinsburg probably would be faster writing things than you. Let's see. What else can we do? Let's see here. Let's see what else we got for our listeners out there. If not, I might end this prior to an hour. Let's see. Yes, we had a good time. We shared some news. Let's see what else has been going on in the world that we haven't covered this week. Yes, there was a, let me put it like this, in Power Rangers news, a lot of people thought, including myself, the fact that everybody saw a live-action trailer for a new Power Rangers event, and it was put out by and starred Jason David Frank. And the thing is, it was just a live action trailer for a comic book event that will have Jason's likeness part of it. He is, in essence, or his likeness will be the bad guy in this new comic book run. And the live action, they just wanted a live action trailer to promote this event. And you know what? It looks good. And if I had access to a decent comic shop and the proper funds to have the to be subscribed to this book, I would probably read this book because it looks and sounds interesting. And let's see what else. And also, from for you Monty Python fans out there, according to several sources, that Netflix is acquiring the rights to play the Monty Python collection. Some reports are saying it's just like Life of Brian and the Holy Grail. Other reports is their full catalog, the show, all their movies, plus maybe some new content for strictly Netflix. So, and it's going to be later this year. Exactly when it's going to be, who knows? And, well, Deadpool 2 trailers come out, and, well, we'll see what happens. Because they were filming, even was close to the release, which is the end of May, sometime mid to late May. They were filming a lot of scenes. They were doing reshoots and so forth and so on. So we will see what happens at the end of May, what's going on. Some people will say that Juggernaut's going to be the main bad guy, but we don't really see, other than Cable in the trailers and them trying to protect a kid, we don't know what the storyline is in regards to that, so who knows what's going on. Now, another thing that has come up over the past few days is that Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to return to in-ring. Now, here's the thing. There are two things in regards to the WWE. I wish Nick Hunt was on the show. We could talk about this. Good chance we'll have him back on the show after WrestleMania, and we'll talk about how close we were with our predictions in his episode that we did a couple weeks ago. So, but I was speaking to Nick like 2 or 3 days ago, on a personal level. He said, guess what? With everything that's been going on, we were about 90% right with what was going on. So, that's good news. We were 90% on. A low-level podcast like us was 90% on with our predictions. I'm going to go with that. 90% beats 10%. 90% right beats 10% right. But the thing with medical cleared, a lot of people said that Daniel Bryan was medically cleared long time ago, over a year or two after. I think we had his retirement. We talked about his retirement about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than 2 years ago, something like that. I saw reports maybe about a year ago about him being medically cleared to wrestle. But the thing is, that might have been his personal doctors, meaning Daniel Bryan's doctors. Now, the WWE doctors might say a different thing. Whether or not, this is one of those things that I would love to have talked to someone like Nick about, because he knows, or even if I could get him on the show, I have a buddy in work who knows about wrestling as well, and have him come on and talk about wrestling, because this is one of those things that, whether or not someone is medically cleared, which means that I could go to a doctor, when it comes to sports or any sports, you might see it, someone with the NFL or the NBA or baseball, that if a regular doctor says, hey, you're medically cleared, those guys are ready to play ball, or in it all shape, well, basketball, all balls anyway, but still, they're ready to play ball. But the thing with the WWE that I want to clarify with my co-host and some of the people that know the WWE more than I do, and especially the behind the scenes, is that the WWE doctors might not medically clear because they might be have strings pulled by like Vince McMahon and some of the higher ups, that it might be better for them not to have that person wrestle than to have them personal wrestle, or they might have a stricter medical guideline to have them not wrestle, which means that all in all, we're meaning someone, let's take, I'm drawing a blank in regards to it. It's like, well, someone might, like Daniel Bryan or an average wrestler or you or me, might be able to take a fall off the top rope, medically cleared for that. But going up on the top of a steel cage type of ordeal and jumping onto a table, they might not be medically cleared. So there might be something in regards to that. And the wrestler I was thinking of was Mick Foley. Because at one point he jumped off an enclosed steel cage onto a table, got busted through that steel cage, and straight down to the ring. He lost a tooth. He might have gotten severely injured as well. I don't remember what the story went through, was told, but that's the thing. It something like at that extreme, somebody might not be medically cleared for, where on a lower level or an average level, they might be medically cleared. So that would be something to discuss with Nick or Big Candy or some of the people that I know are actually wrestling fans. Now, besides that, I can't believe I did that. That is the page. Now, here's the thing. We had a couple, has not been renewed. Some of the things, other things that came up. No, I'm not going to talk about that. But that seems to be about it for right now, folks. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know I did. And I'm going to leave that there for now. Yes, this is a shorter than usual, or shorter episode than what we've been having for the past few weeks. So we'll probably get back to that either next week or the week after. So hope to see you guys next week. Have some interviews. Maybe who knows what's going to be happening. Maybe a creepy pasta. And I've been hearing a few extra creepy phone numbers to call, so we might do that again. So we'll see what happens and what unfolds over the next couple of days or weeks. Maybe we'll have somebody else come in and guest. So either way, find us if you want to listen to our back catalog of episodes and see photos of our co-hosts that we've had or some of the regulars that we've had on the show. You could go to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and you can listen to all our episodes going dating back way back to the beginning in 2015 to the present. And you can see, again, photos of our regular co-hosts that we've currently have and our or had at one point, and it'll link to a couple of the blogs that we've written in the past. Plus, if you want to stay current with us and with the current news and what's being released currently, like seeing if you miss out on Deadpool, we try to release that so you have a better chance of seeing a Deadpool trailer or any trailer for that matter. You can do so by going to Facebook and looking at some, clicking like on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And while you're there, if you want to leave us a message, you're more than welcome to do so. And speaking of message, you could also send us an email by shooting us an email at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We do have a Twitter account, and we try to engage with you, our listeners, that way, as well as promote new episodes. And that our Twitter handle is longcoatmafia. And we do have a Instagram, and which shows you where we've been, like the 4-state event we were at this past weekend, March 24th. So that way you can see what we're doing, where we're going, and so forth and so on. And our Instagram handle is Long Coat Mafia. And we do have it, again, we do have a YouTube channel where we do post some exclusive content. Like we had put up a tasting of Mountain Dew Ice and a few other things, and our Polar Bear Challenge, some that we put on YouTube, not on our Facebook account. So you could always go there by searching Lone Cup Mafia. And the link to it is in the show description. If it's not clickable, you could always go to our, again, our Podbean page and clicking the link there. And speaking of Podbean, you can follow us on the Podbean app, which is both Android and iPhone compatible or iPad compatible. And speaking of Android and iPhone and iPad, you can listen to the show on iTunes/Apple Podcast or Google Play Music, whichever you so prefer, plus Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and a few other podcasting catching apps like the Podbean app. So, and for those of you who have subscribed, close to, let's see what our current total is on the our Podbean statistics here. That's saying how many people have followed us so far. I haven't gotten a current number. Let's see here. Sorry for the delay, folks. And the current total is for our all that we have is we have a grand total of 896 followers on Podbean right now. And thank you, all of you, all 896 of you, for following the show, and all of you on Facebook for following the show and our other social media outlets. So if you want, subscribe to us on YouTube. Click that subscribe button and hit that notification bell. That way you can always know when we post a video or listen to our podcast there if you so wish. And also subscribe to us on Facebook, facebook.com, Lone Cup Mafia Podcast. I am rambling, so therefore I am going to go and cut this under an hour. Therefore, it could be one of the shorter episodes in this past month. And guess what, folks? One last thing before I go. It's been a year without using a classic Electric Eye episode. Watch, we're going to be using one within the next 2 weeks. Just watch. Just watch. We're going to probably be doing it. I don't want to. But who knows? I might save it for a rainy day. So all of you out there listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening this long. And I hope to see all of you as subscribers and at an event sometime soon. Thank you for listening, and good night. Good day, whatever it might be. Bye-bye.
See you next time on the Lone Cup Mafia.